This is Torah 101. Opening our hearts and our ears to the words of the Torah. Parasha Vayetze, he went out. Jacob, that is, to the land of Haran for a wife. Genesis 29:18 from the Complete Jewish Bible translation. Yaakov had fallen in love with Rachel and said, "I will work for you 7 years." He's speaking to Laban, her father, Laban, in exchange for Rachel, your younger daughter. The ancient sages believed that Jacob has to be specific because Laban was known to be an untruthful person, a bit of a manipulator. And so he's specifically requesting Rachel, and that this particular Rachel is his younger daughter. So he's being very specific. But Laban answered, "Better that I give her to you than to someone else. Stay with me." So Yaakov worked 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed only a few days to him because he was so much in love with her. The time went by fast as he worked and lived among Rachel's family, became part of that family. 7 years go by. And finally, Yaakov said to Laban, verse 21, "Give me my wife, since my time is finished, so that I can start living with her." Yaakov, believing that his years were passing on, that he had a calling to fulfill, that from him were to come the 12 tribes of Israel. He knew that the promise of the blessing of Abraham was to come through him and through his seed. So he begins to get a little anxious after the 7 years to fulfill the great calling on his life, to be the progenitor of the tribes of Israel. Laban gathered all the men of the place and gave a banquet. And in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Yaakov, and he went in and slept with her. Laban also gave his slave girl Zilpah to his daughter Leah as her slave girl. So these ancient weddings would be week-long gatherings, the men together, the women separately. When it says a banquet, it means it was quite a party. And no doubt the alcohol, the wine, clouded Jacob's understanding of what was going on. Didn't realize when he went into the marital tent that it was Leah instead of Rachel. Verse 25, in the morning Yaakov saw that he was with Leah, and he said to Laban, "What kind of thing is this that you've done to me? Didn't I work for you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me?" Laban answered, "In our place, that isn't how it's done to give the younger daughter before the firstborn." Now he tells him. Notice the deception coming back on Yaakov. We remember his deception of his brother Esau for the birthright. There is a spiritual principle at work here that whatever a man sows, this is what he will reap. And I think that God uses situations like this to cause us to look at ourselves, to know what it feels like, that he can bring about deeper change in our character by seeing our own sins coming back to us from other people. So Laban tells him to finish the marriage week of this one, and we'll give you the other one also in exchange for the work you will do for me during yet another 7 years. Yaakov agreed to this. So probably much more that was spoken of and much more deliberation on Yaakov's part. I don't think it was an instantaneous agreement. But this is the way it was in those days. You didn't just run away and get married somewhere. You had to go through this formal process. So he finished her week, that is Leah's 7-day wedding, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Verse 28, Yaakov agreed to this. So he finished her week, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave to his daughter Rachel his slave girl Bilhah as her slave girl. So not only did Yaakov go in and sleep with Rachel, but he also loved Rachel more than Leah. Then he served Laban another 7 years. So it's been established. It wasn't to be a competition in the first place. It had already been established that Jacob wanted Rachel as his wife. And so we do not hold Yaakov to blame for hurting Leah, because it was her father Laban's doing that this came about, and that she ended up, Leah that is, feeling inferior. Verse 31, Adonai saw that Leah was unloved. Take note, the Lord sees and he knows the feelings that are deep within us that we think nobody else knows or nobody else understands. He saw it. The scriptures teach that he knows our needs even before we ask. So he made her fertile while Rachel remained childless. So God giving something to Leah and withholding something from Rachel. Leah conceived and gave birth to a son whom she named Reuben, which means see, a son. For she said, "It is because Adonai has seen how humiliated I have been, but now my husband will love me." And she conceived again and gave birth to a son and said, It is because Adonai has heard that I am unloved, therefore he has given me this son also. So she named him Shimon. Now this seems to indicate that God heard the exchanges, the conversations, the attitudes. He heard the words going on. And from this, he understood that she was unloved in that household. So Shimon comes along, meaning hearing, or Simon in English. Once more she conceived and had a son, and she said, "Now this time my husband will be joined to me, because I have borne him 3 sons." Therefore she named him Levi, or Levi, which means joining. Now the Complete Jewish Bible here renders this, "Therefore she named him Levi," but in most translations and in the most ancient of commentaries, it speaks of this as being different because it says he named him Levi or Levi, or just simply he was named Levi. So the ancients believed that Levi was the only one not named by one of the mothers. All of the other sons are named by the mothers, but Levi is not. That the angel Gabriel, it is believed, came and gave him the name Levi, setting apart this particular son and his eventual people, his tribe, for the service of Adonai, the spiritual care of the nation, the Levites. Were set apart even from birth. The angel Gabriel, recognizing that, naming him. Verse 35, she conceived yet again, had a son, and said, "This time I will praise Adonai." Therefore she named him Judah, which means praise. Then she stopped having children. Chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing children for Yaakov, she envied her sister and said to Yaakov, "Give me children or I will die." And this made Yaakov angry at Rachel, and he answered, "Am I in God's place? He's the one who is denying you children." Yaakov recognizing that he had no power over this, that this was something out of his control. And there is wisdom in this, that when we hit a wall, so to speak, and it doesn't change, we can't blame one another, because ultimately God is the one who's able to move that mountain. Jacob recognizing this, that God is in ultimate control. Verse 3, she said, "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go sleep with her and let her give birth to a child that will be laid on my knees so that through her I too can build a family." We see things like this throughout the scriptures, especially in these family dealings, how people taking the control of things into their own hands and doing things that seem to us as absurd and crazy. Who would do something like that? And yet the Bible, the scriptures, show us these things from even the patriarchs, these people that we think were so much more godly and righteous than any other people, but it's all designed to show us that we can relate, that we can look at these mistakes and think, well, if God used their mistakes, and from these apparent missteps or these apparent bad decisions came some of the 12 tribes of Israel, whose names, the book of Revelation tells us, are written on the 12 gates of the city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Then we know and we can be assured that God will work all things together, even our mistakes, for our ultimate benefit. He knows we're just dust. So Bilhah conceived and bore Yaakov a son, and Rachel said, God has judged in my favor. Indeed, he has heard me and given me a son. Therefore, she called him Dan, which means he judged. And Bilhah, Rachel's slave girl, conceived again and bore Yaakov a second son. Rachel said, I have wrestled mightily with my sister and won, and called him Naphtali, meaning my wrestling. Real conflict between real family members. Didn't need to be this way. Didn't need to be a competition. But they were just real people with real feelings. Jealousy, envy, trying to one-up each other. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took Zilpah, her slave girl, and gave her to Yaakov as his wife. And Zilpah, Leah's slave girl, bore Yaakov a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come, calling him Gad, meaning good fortune. Probably about this time you're beginning to wonder about polygamy in the Bible. God's original design for marriage is found in the first couple of chapters of Genesis, where it says, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It doesn't say three or four or five. Two, a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. So we see that these multiple marriages and multiple wives of Jacob were tolerated by God, but never endorsed by God. And he used the situation to produce the 12 tribes of Israel, but we can see the problems that were created by the multiple wives and the children from different mothers. It's going to play out later between the sons of Leah and a particular son of Rachel called Joseph. Verse 12, Zilpah, Leah's slave girl, bore Yaakov a second son. And Leah said, how happy I am. Women will say I am happy, and called him Asher. Asher, meaning happy. This is Torah 101.